This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's right. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. And that's right. I'm not Paul Zeiss. I'm Chris Mueller. Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Out to the hotline we go. One of my favorite people to talk hockey with, even if I can't get him on the air at the time I said I would because I just went way too late with the last segment, is Dan Rosen, NHL.com. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, you're lucky I took the call. I told you.
I know.
9 p.m. sharp, you know.
And I told you that there was no way that was going to happen because I haven't finished a segment on time in 8 years. So we were both putting the cards on the table there. The schedule release, I'll start with the most current of events. That happened a couple of hours ago, and I just said to everybody, obviously, the Pens and the Lightning will open the season. That's not really a huge surprise to me, obviously, defending champs and still Sidney Crosby. That has a lot of appeal to a casual audience. What I'm more interested in, Dan, are sort of the devil in the details stuff with the 2022 Winter Olympics. So can you kind of break it down for people what is going to happen right now as things stand with this schedule and what might happen based on the outcome of whether or not players from the NHL participate in the 2022 Winter Games?
Yeah, so what it is now, what they did was they put out a schedule that does contemplate an Olympic break, and that break would be from February 7th through the 22nd. The All-Star weekend is February 4th and 5th in Vegas. I'm not looking forward to that at all, Chris, by the way, not at all, you know. but then right after the All-Star weekend, and if you remember the past Olympic years, the NHL has not held an All-Star game, but the All-Star is a big money event for the league as well, and this is in Vegas, so they got to have it, especially after not having it the past 2 years with COVID-related stuff, with COVID-related stuff. So anyway, February 7th through the 22nd is the built-in break for the Olympics, but it's not agreed upon yet. There are still outlying issues that need to get agreed upon, most notably COVID-19 insurance for the players when they go over to Beijing for the Olympics. If they can agree with all the principals involved, the NHL, the NHLPA, the IOC, the IIHF, the league has said that we're going to go to the Olympics. They negotiated that within the collective bargaining agreement, and there's a good faith agreement to do it. But if they can't agree on all of these things, then what's going to happen is they won't go to the Olympics, and there is basically a second schedule in a drawer somewhere that basically says, here's what it'll look like if we don't go to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So the one that we see publicly now has the break in it from February 7th through the 22nd, and if there is no Olympics, then that will be more condensed. The schedule will be more condensed, and they will be playing at that time instead of going to the Olympics.
I know this is asking you to look into the future, but would you assume that we're playing with the schedule that we have now that has a break and that you're going to end up with NHL players playing in the Olympics?
I think it makes too much sense for the IOC and the IIHF to have players at the Olympics, and I think it, you know what I mean. Like, I think it's such a big thing for them to have NHL players at the Olympics. It's a weird year to do it. There's still a global pandemic going on,
right.
We see it now in Tokyo. I mean, there's lots going on there, so it's still a weird year, and player safety has to be paramount. But I think it just makes too much sense for them to. You know, it doesn't make sense for them to not come to agreements with the league and the Players Association on this. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that a couple of weeks ago, I was more in the no category. But with the league releasing a schedule thing and continuing to give it time, they wanted to know by tomorrow. It's not going to happen, I don't think. But they still were able to release a schedule that has the break in it. That, to me, says the league believes it's close. And I do think that, yes, in that sense, that they'll be going with the Olympics.
Talking with NHL insider Dan Rosen of NHL.com. This one, I understand you write for NHL.com, Dan, so I don't mean this to be like a question that puts you in a bad spot at all. How annoyed was the league with the amount of leaking of picks that went on with that draft? And obviously ESPN, I would imagine, not too happy since they were running it. What was the reaction, to your understanding, to the fact that pretty much every pick was out there before that made-for-TV event started?
You know what? I don't know what the reaction was from up top on that or from ESPN. I didn't question it, but here's what I would say to it. Like, leaks happen, right? And I think it's not the first time the league has done things that involve trying to surprise people, and leaks happen, and they happen all the time. I don't think in the end it hurt the show. I think more than anything, what I was tuning in for, now I knew the team, obviously, and whatnot, but what I was tuning in for was to see the show. What was going to happen? What was it going to look like? What was the reaction to the Kraken going to be? What were the fan reactions going to be? Who was going to be coming out on stage and all that stuff? And I think that, more than anything, is what the league was looking for, was to put on a show for this. It couldn't be done the way they probably wanted to be able to do it. If we were not in a COVID time, that would have been ideally in the arena with a big blowout, 15,000 people there, and concerts and all that stuff, you know. So it's probably it has to be scaled down a lot and do it outside and whatnot. But I honestly don't think that the team being leaked mattered all that much. But you also have to remember, like, it was on ESPN, and maybe you're not getting the hockey audience that's, you know, so maybe some of the people watching that are not the hockey audience that's following everybody on Twitter who's breaking these things, you know? They may not know the team when they tune in.
What did you think of the team that the Kraken assembled?
I think it's a quality D. There's no question about it. I mean, you look at their top five D, Giordano, Carson Soucy's in that mix, no question. Adam Larson, Oleksiak, Vince Dunn. That's a good NHL D. I don't think it has a number one in it right now, but they weren't really going to get a number one in the expansion draft. I mean, unless they were able to, and I don't even think he's a number one, sign Dougie Hamilton. I don't think he's a number one either. So I like the D. The goaltending has a lot to prove, but it's got good bones with the numbers that Vanacek and Driedger put up. The forward group is versatile. It's two-way. A lot of character is what guys were saying last night. But if that's the forward group Seattle's going to put on the ice, they're going to struggle to score goals because they don't have a first line.
Well, that tends to help. The Penguins aren't going to have a second line that they're accustomed to with Evgeny Malkin missing so much time next year. How much do you think that injury and the uncertainty sort of looming over him just generally and how he's going to come back from this affected the way they strategized for this?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, I think it impacted Jeff Carter, you know, for one. You know, if you're uncertain about Evgeny Malkin, you can't lose Jeff Carter if you're the Penguins, right? So it ends up that they lose, they trade McCann, and then they lose Tanev, but, you need a number two center, and I don't think that's McCann with the Pittsburgh Penguins if Malkin's not around. So you couldn't expose Carter because he might have been picked. Who knows, right? It's an interesting thing. I mean, look, Malkin is such an important part of this team. You know that. I know that. And they're not the same without him. My hope is that, you know, the knee injury, the surgery and everything that he's had will help him. But he's got a lot of miles on a 34-year-old body that's big, powerful, been beaten up a lot. And you wonder if Evgeny Malkin's going to be the same player that he was, you know, coming back from this surgery. We'll see. But I think it did impact a little bit what they do. And I just look at it and I say, man, they basically lost two players in the expansion draft and got a prospect and a pick for it, basically. So that's a tough blow. And they're going to have to retool a little bit. And they don't have much cap space to do it.
Although they do have a lot more than they had before they lost those two players, which is sort of the silver lining that I think most people hear, who especially didn't seem to want to lose Tanev because he looked like a wild-eyed drifter, I always said, and played like you would imagine a wild-eyed drifter would play. I think people are looking for a silver lining there, though, and saying, well, they do have some cap space. So where do they stand right now, the Penguins, just sort of as you – I guess, Dan, the way I'm asking this is you take stock of every team right now in the NHL, and there's obviously a draft coming up here very shortly, and then there's free agency. Where do the Penguins stand in your mind? Like, how are they positioned? Poorly, well, just kind of your overarching sort of sense of them as an organization at the moment.
Well, I think they're not positioned the way they were a few years ago. They're kind of, but I think that's what happens when you win the way they did. You know, I mean, eventually the cap comes back and it bites you. So, but they still have Sidney Crosby, and I know you're probably, oh my, as long as they have Crosby and Letang and Malkin, they got a shot. And it's true if they have a healthy Malkin, it's true they do. They're going to run back Jerry, I guess, as their number one goalie again. And why wouldn't you? He had a pretty good year, but not a good playoffs. He's only 26 years old.
I'll tell you, hold on. You saying that, there were just groans and screams like the Alderaan blowing up scene in Star Wars. If a great disturbance in the force right now. I was just going to ask you, how interested do you think they are or should be in getting a true number one goalie? Because our mutual buddy Sean Gentile feels like that should be priority one here, that running it back with Jari is like not an option.
What are you paying for that true number one goalie? And who is the true number one goalie? I don't have answers to those questions right now. But right now, they're paying less than $5 million for their goaltending. And it was a first-year run for Tristan Jarry, and he's only 26 years old. Maybe he learns from it. Maybe he improves from that. And I think you can't have a knee-jerk reaction to that necessarily, especially when he's still pretty much on the cheap and young. So, I mean, is Andre Vasilevsky walking through the doors? I don't think so.
What about a Peter Mrazek?
Is he better than Tristan Jarry?
I mean, I would argue that he is, just mainly because of recency bias.
I mean, if he's better, he's better by a nose. It's not that much of a difference. That's the thinking here, I think, because, look, the Detroit Red Wings just went out and got Alex Nedeljkovic, who's, what, a 25-year-old goaltender, I think, maybe 24, mm-hmm. And they're paying him $3 million a year. He had a pretty good run, recency bias, right? Well, Carolina didn't get locked into that recency bias. They looked at the totality and said, we could do better, basically. That's why they traded him. And maybe they can, maybe they can't, but you're not getting, again, Andre Vasilevsky's not walking through that door. You know, Henrik Lundqvist in his prime is not walking through that door. Carey Price is banged up a little bit right now. He was left exposed, but you don't want to, if you want to go, if you pay 10.5 to Carey Price, sure, the Montreal Canadiens might be like, okay, sure, you'll take all the cap hit, right? Well, that eats up the rest of your cap. You can't do anything else. Not a good thing to have, right? So you have Jerry, run it back out there. See if it works. He's on two more years, $3.5 million per. You know, I mean, this team at some point has to get younger and build go in a different direction than where it were. And again, they still have 87. I get it. He's there and he's not going anywhere and he's still elite. But you got to take some chances here, and you don't want to. If you don't believe in your heart of hearts that you're absolutely a Stanley Cup contender right now, why would you go out and spend a boatload of money from your cap on goaltending? Jerry might be the guy that can get you there. Yeah. I don't know if he is or not.
Well, I can tell you right now in Pittsburgh, the thought is not just because, and I would actually lump myself into this camp. I will say this. I think they were good enough to make legitimate, serious noise in these playoffs if he doesn't vomit that series up on multiple mm-hmm. occasions to the Islanders. I really do. I think they were – I'm starting to rethink the idea that I thought they were going to get beat by Boston and think maybe they could have handled that series and at least gotten a crack at the Lightning.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, here's the thing, right? He was not good. Okay, we know that. He was not good in that series. But it really – I mean, it really was – his first real taste of genuine mm-hmm. playoff hockey, right?
Yep.
I mean, it really was. So he wasn't good, but you run it back out there, maybe he learns from it. Maybe he's better. I mean, you look at his numbers in the regular season, they were solid. They weren't great. They didn't blow off the board. He wasn't an all-star or any stretch, but winnable. Like, he played winnable hockey in that for the Pittsburgh Penguins, for the style of play that they play and the players that they have and their ability to score at times. He played winnable hockey for them. He can do that. If he can just carry that into the playoffs, you're going to give yourself a chance. And I guess my thinking is here, you have Jerry, Is the next guy out there that you can get better than the one you have right now? And I'm looking at the goaltending that's out there right now, and I'm saying to myself, I don't know if the next guy is better than what I already have in Tristan Jarry, even if I'm not in love with what I have in Tristan Jarry.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com. Couple more minutes. He's joining us to dish about the Penguins. You said they need to get younger at some point. We all know that the end of this is coming. Like, it, you know, this era of hockey for them with Crosby and Malkin and all this success is going to go over the cliff like in Thelma and Louise. Ron Hextall now is the man who has to clean up some of those contractual messes that Jim Rutherford made towards the end while he was trying to figure out any way to keep this thing propped up the way he wanted it. What are your impressions of the work that Hextall's done so far? And what do you think is kind of priority one for him to try to start reshaping this thing in a big picture way?
It's interesting because with Sidney Crosby signed for another 4 years, you're not going scorched earth. Mm-hmm. It's not happening that you're going
to
go scorched earth.
And with him not really declining in play enough to make it viable, like he's still playing really well. So I think it would be crazy to completely scorch the earth as long as he was this productive.
Yeah, you can't. But you have to draft smart. Now, like, I think that's the key for the Pittsburgh Penguins is you have to draft smart. You have to draft and develop well. So in 2 or 3 years, you have a new influx of talent that can come in here. Maybe another guy comes in a year, and then another two come in 2 years after that.
It'd be nice if they had some picks to go about doing this that weren't all seventh rounders, basically. Like, how much can they actually help themselves in this particular draft?
In this particular draft, it's going to be very, very difficult. They have, what, four picks, five picks, and three of them are seventh rounders?
Yep.
Unless they make a big move, it's going to be very difficult. But, I don't know what they've drafted in the past right now. I don't have it off the top of my head. But I know next year their first is there. The year after their first is there. I think the next year they have their second as well, and their second as well the year after that. So it's going to be a slow decline. But at the same time, they have to be building slowly. And you hope that when the decline really does hit, that what you've built is able to kind of offset some of the decline to keep that curve from really going steep. Because it's going to happen. I mean, we know it's going to happen at some point. And you just got to try to not let it go so deep. And that's why drafting and developing and finding the European prospects that aren't drafted, finding the college free agents that can really help you out. I mean, this is going to be a very important 2 or 3 years of scouting and developing for the Penguins.
Dan, I'll leave you with this one. Pretty important anniversary here in Pittsburgh sports and specifically for the Penguins. 16 years ago today, they won the Sidney Crosby sweepstakes. And I said earlier in the show tonight, I said, as great as it is to have a generational talent, even in a sport like hockey where we already know they can't impact the game, maybe like in basketball on every single possession, et cetera, it's still better to have that guy than not, but it doesn't guarantee anything. You could just look at the Edmonton Oilers, for example, as an object lesson there. What would you say if I were to ask you just your opinion of what the Penguins have managed to do in the 16 years since that lottery ball bounced their way and they got Sidney Crosby? Like, would you say that they have cashed in or kind of taken that golden goose for an acceptable number of eggs, three of them in this case, and those three titles are pretty impressive?
Yes, because it's the cap era and it's hard to continue to win and be successful because the cap eventually gets you, as it has as it is right now to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Their core is still going to be in place, but you know what? They're going to lose a lot of important players. Does it mean they can't win again? No. I mean, it gets you. It got the Chicago Blackhawks, and it's now getting the Pittsburgh Penguins too. So I do think three, with another run into the Stanley Cup final mixed in there, has been a very successful run. And I'll put it this way as well. 16 years ago today, they drafted it. They were able to secure a top five player in National Hockey League history, in my opinion. Or Gretzky, Lemieux, Howe, Crosby's five.
In that order now that you mention it, or Gretzky, Lemieux, Howe?
No, the order. I would say the order.
I've heard people say maybe not Howe ahead of Crosby, but like I've heard people say or first and be very obstinate about defending it. And growing up, that was just not an opinion I ever heard.
Yeah. You know what? I can't say that because it wasn't an era that I grew up in. So I got to go with either 99 or 66. And I mean, I'm on Pittsburgh radio.
If you were building a team here, well, you don't have to say Lemieux. Oh yeah, okay. Thank you. I'm the heel on this show. If you were if you had one game to win, the old one game for your life, and you can only have Gretzky or Lemieux for that game, and I'm not telling you what the rest of your team looks like. You might have Vasilevsky in goal. You might have Tristan Jarry from the Islanders series in goal. Who are you taking for that one game situation where you don't know the rest of the team?
I'm taking Gretzky.
Really?
Taking Gretzky. Because I've never seen a player be able to control a game the way he controls a game, whether it's puck on his stick or not. Everything when he's on the ice is about what Gretzky is able to do. And you can defend him. You can throw two at him, three at him. It doesn't matter. He finds the guy with his eyes in the back of his head. He finds plays. And I've never seen anything like it, almost in any sport, I think. So the way his vision, his hockey IQ, the way he was able to just create out of nothing with guys draping all over him, it's Gretzky to me. He's the best.
That's why I love having this gentleman on the air, Dan Rosen. He's got big takes, and he's not afraid to say something that might be unpopular with the local crowd. Dan, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
This will be the last time because they're coming after me right now.
Yes, Penguins Online pitchforks and torches have activated. You have been warned. Thanks, Dan.
All right, thank you, man.
Dan Rosen, NHL.com. Really good stuff there. Good on Twitter as well, so make sure you follow him. It was in my tweet, by the way, about this interview. You can find his handle. Coming up, I think we are entering kind of uncharted territory with the Penguins, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by that coming up next. Chris Muller in for Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.